Breezy,
Moe's Nose,
PG,
Fear the Dawn.
It's about that time, everybody turn your TVs on. The Moe's Nose, PG, Breezy, and Fear the Dawn. They keep it nitty gritty when they bring you nine and tall. We two gorillas, silver back, nah, silver
home. You know it's busting the discussion cause we get it in. Every time, you know, we grindin', I was 8 to 10. We always play to win, the faithful going hard. It's Wayne, Breezy, Peachy, Moe's Nose, and Fear the God. Let's get it.
Nitty gritty, it's the line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, it's the line is tall. We outline players up in chalk. Nitty gritty, it's the line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, this the line is tall. Nitty gritty,
this the line is tall. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Nitty Gritty Niners Talk, baby. What's good? What's good? I got Peachy in the place to be. I got my man Moe's Nose in the place to be. What's going on, family?
Oh, the heat is what's going on.
The heat, so I can hear a fan on right now. Like that, the heat is popping today.
It's crazy. This heat is wild, for real.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it to be almost 90 plus.
Right.
What month we in? The month
September.
Of football.
The
September. Month of, do you remember? The month of September where the heat was almost in the 90s. All I know is it was really hot.
Yes.
It's really hot. Really hot. Hope you guys out there are keeping it cool, calm, and collected. We got some things heating up because, you know, the closer we get to this start date of the season for the 49ers, you know, I mean, it's Steelers week. They're practicing on this Labor Day. And again, they're minus one of their star players. So it's going to be interesting. But you know what? You know what? Like Talanoa Hufanga said today in his interview, that they are out there going to be prepared. They're going to be prepared. And I think that's the only thing that they can do is be prepared. So
that's right.
Welcome to Nitty Gritty Niners Talk, everybody. We got the Breezy Bunch crew in the building. All right. Jax Knox is in the building. Hey, Nitty Gritty and Faithful, have a great show. I'm excited about Pittsburgh. All right. My man Jason Hess. Let's smash those Steelers. I'm with you, bro. Matthew changed his name to Bleeding Red and Gold. I like that. Ready to rock out to another great show. So ready for Sunday. Go Niners. Mike with the hashtag BB. 49er Jeff. Week one is upon us. Let's go. Let's go. I see you Fernando's out there. Chrissy 1687. My man Kylie's in the building. Joel's all the way from Korea. He's watching from Korea. He's on vacation in Korea.
Nice.
Shout out to you, man. Appreciate it. What I'm curious to know what time it is out there. Grizz is in the building. Oh, man. Everybody's in here. My man Hurricane is in the building. Raphael 562. Like and subscribe, everybody. Eddie G and the B-Dogs. New intro fire. Yeah, man. I've been working today. I've been working today. Don't bother me. Will Huff be on a pitch count? Highly doubt it. He was full practice today. No pitch count for the Huffinator. Everybody's a nader for me, like everybody. Troy, I don't even know what that means. Troy, good evening, Breezy Bunch. It was 48. I was out fishing today. Did you catch anything? That's the most important part. What did you catch?
Right.
Lake City's in the building. What's going on, fam? See you Friday. Lake City, hey, Lake City planned a Friday evening for myself and Moe's. We will be in the studio creating some fire. And I'm excited because I don't think Moe's and Lake have never seen me outside of this element. They know I do, but they never see me in that element. You gonna have to pay for a couple extra hours, dog. I'm just gonna let you know right now. That's something the 10 ain't gonna kick it, man. It's not gonna kick it. We're gonna have to give the engineer a few more dollars. But excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. Moe's, how you doing? Peachy, how you doing?
Listen, man, I can't call it a chill holiday. You know what I'm saying? Stay home with the fam, kicked it in the crib, did some cleaning. That's never fun. But, you know, got to make sure the crib is clean and ready to go and just putting some things in order, getting ready for this weekend.
I love it. I love it, getting ready for this weekend. Moe's, when you get down to PITTS?
I'm leaving early afternoon. I should be in Pittsburgh by like 4 or 5 o'clock.
4 or 5 o'clock. Peachy, it's Manic Monday today, no work, but Still manic or?
No work. Not really manic, like I said, just hot.
Hot.
Just real hot today. Didn't do too much. Hung with the fam just a little bit. And, you know, get ready for the show. Packing a little bit. Trying out stuff done. Leaving at the crack of dawn Friday morning. I don't know why I did that. So I should be in Pitt by like 12:30 or something like that. So.
Are you going early afternoon? I like that. I'll be in Pittsburgh around 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. Palmieri Brothers, I heard we got to go check this sandwich place out. They put French fries on the sandwich.
What? Okay.
Not like a hamburger, like a regular sandwich. If you're from the Pittsburgh area, that's what I heard. They put French fries on the sandwich. I can't wait to try that out. We're not going to do Sizzling Sunday this year, but I'm going to be doing something different. And I'm definitely going to go there, get me a video, watch them make it, eat it, give my reaction, keep it moving. Because I gotta try that out. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lake City. Is it Primanti Brothers? I knew it started with a P. I was close. Kali, why y'all always gotta be correcting me like I'm stupid? You know what I'm saying? It started with a P Brothers. P Brothers is where we're gonna be going.
P Brothers.
Primanti Bros. Thank you, Kali. I appreciate that. They knew what I was talking about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they knew what I was talking about. Matter of fact, have a couple of them sandwiches for the studio session, dude. You know what I'm saying?
See, I would have said that said Praying Mantis Brothers because the heat's getting too
That's funny. Primantis Brothers. What did I call it? Primantis. I think it's Primantis.
I got you.
But I get it.
Either way.
Praying Mantis. That works. That works, you know.
That's what it looks like to me. It is what it is.
French fries. Have you ever had French fries like on hamburgers? Cheaper? You ever put your French fries on the burger?
We have a place here that does that.
I've never put French fries on a Philly cheesesteak or
no.
It's gonna be different.
That will be definitely a new experience. We're looking forward to seeing all you guys in Pittsburgh though.
It's about to go down. And I need all the other food places too. I like to eat when I'm away. So I work hard enough to eat. We're gonna start the show off with a super chat contribution. Jax Knox is in the building. Hello, Nitty Gritty. You guys are the best. 17-0. And here's your score prediction. 17-0 with a confident 3-point victory in Pittsburgh.
Confident. Right.
That's a lot of points, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to give up 28 week one.
I don't either. I don't want to do that either. I don't want to.
That's a lot of points.
I don't want to have no heart attack game. That right there sounds like a heart attack game.
Right. Right.
It does.
Right. Wait a
what
minute,
Peachy. What are you doing
to us, Jack? Wait a minute. You're right. People don't realize those heart attack games. Oh my gosh, like literally your heart explodes, you die, you come back to life, you die again. When we were in Vegas, how many times did I die? Keep it up.
Like I had to be resuscitated. She had to be resuscitated like 9,000 times during
that.
That was crazy.
I didn't expect, because none of us expected that game modes to be that high scoring.
We thought it was going to be easy. We thought we were just going to go in there and just run all over them, and it did not
freaking
happen.
Jarrett Stidham.
I can't stand heart attack games, especially being live for them. Man, it's
That's crazy.
They're rough.
Wait, Rob D says it's by Rutgers in New Jersey. They put everything on a sandwich called fat sandwiches, fries, onion rings, mozzarella sticks. Man, this sounds like death. I'd rather die from a close game.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could eat all that, man. I'm not a big fan of mozzarella sticks. I do love onion rings, though. I love this
show. Onion rings are awesome.
They got to be right, though. Like, not burnt, like, not whatever.
Right.
I don't know. Look, let's get down to what's going on. Look, as far as 49ers news, guys, you know the biggest thing, the biggest controversy. I mean, the latest report from Ian Rappaport is basically stating that, you know, don't expect Nick Bosa to play week one, and the 49ers and Nick Bosa just aren't touching and agreeing at this moment. And so, I mean, I know a lot of people are putting their takes out there. I'm not taking shots at anybody, you know. I'm hearing that the number is a $2 million difference and whatever. Listen, I will say this. Please try not to count people's money. Like, that's not what you want to do. I know we want our players out there, but try not to count money. $1 or $2 million It's that's their prerogative, like that's their thing, you know. Let them go out and get as much. If you say that they're the best, then let them get as much as they can,
right,
and milk the hell out of that company if they're the best. That's what it comes down to. Because when you look at Nick Bosa, right, there's some dominant defensive players in the league. What makes Nick Bosa significant, though? Like, what makes him better than the rest? Let's go through the both of you, Mose and then Peachy.
I think just his tenacity is the main thing that I'll say is he's so technically sound with what he does, both getting after the quarterback and in the run game. We saw him getting passing lanes and, you know, intercepting passes that are going to the flat. There were a couple of times where we seen him dropping in the coverage. I didn't like that too much. But the fact that he has the ability to do it, you know, he has to be accounted for at all times. And I think there's not too many players in this league that have to be accounted for at all times. You know, there's a few. T.J. Watt, we face him in a couple of days. Michael Parsons, Myles Garrett on the defensive side of the ball. There are a few guys. Aaron Donald still, who you need to account for on every play. But Nick Bosa right now is one of the best of the best. And you have to account for where he is at all times, because if you don't, he will wreck the play.
All right, so accountability and a ball wrecker. No pause. Peachy.
That's a super pause.
Peachy, I want to know from you what sticks out.
You could have said anything, but you could have said play wrecker.
He's a ball wrecking ball, man. I was just flipping the word wrecking ball to the ball wrecker. Man, I didn't say balls wrecker. I didn't put the pluralization on the word balls.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Peachy, what about Nick Bosa that sticks out to you?
Pause. Okay, well, I've known about Bosa for a long time, since I'm a Buckeye fan. Ohio State, for everybody that doesn't watch college, I've known him way back then. And what it always impressed me about him was his footwork and his intelligence. He's a very, very smart. He's a very, very smart player. And I know people are like, well, he doesn't sound smart. Well, he is smart. He's a very, very intelligent player and has just fantastic footwork. And his awareness as to what's going on around him is just second to none. I mean, he literally can look around and, you know, analyze everything. He's just that special.
You got his accountability. You got to know where he is.
Mm-hmm.
You got his speciality. I guess speciality. I love that term, if that's a word. And I'm gonna add in his work ethic. You know, and I think if you put all three together, man, I'm not sure you get the same type of player or same type of machine or same type of whatever you want to call Nick Bosa, alien. I don't know. You won't get that without those three components. And I think his work ethic, I mean, it shows you, like, this dude works off the field just as much as he works on the field. And I have people saying that, oh, he didn't show up in the playoffs. I mean, he did get injured on the sideline. I guarantee you that's in this contract. Yo, if I happen to get a cleat to the knee on the sideline, I'm going to get paid for it or something. Like, he actually literally got injured in that Philly game. We didn't know.
That's right.
We didn't know until after the fact, but he took a cleat to the knee, like a stray bullet, drive-by cleat. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
But his work ethic is crazy. And, you know, sometimes you can't teach that. Like, some people are just hardworking people, right?
Yeah.
The hardest working man in show business, that might be Nick Bosa. He, like, really puts all of 24 hours in a day into what it is he's trying to do. And then you can see it in his body. You can see it in his diet. You can see it in his play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Did he run out of gas? Probably. At some point, I mean, you're sending two or three people at him all the damn time. I'm sure at some point he's going to run out of gas. That's why the 49ers decided to spend the money on Javon Hargrave. And was like, hey, man, let's take some of this attention
just
off you, bro.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And
exactly.
So, like, look, Nick Bosa will be a dominant force. He will be a dominant force in the red and gold. I'm confident. I'm 100% confident in that. Will he play week one? I think it's time to prepare for, you know, without Nick Bosa. I think it's time to look past Nick and say, hey, man, when he gets here, we'll prepare with him. And when he's not here, let's prepare without him. It's kind of like really,
wrestling. It's really scary because we've seen what it looks like when Bautista is not out there.
Hey, I know. That's a good point, Peachy. Question. Peachy's dating back to last season and the Atlanta game. Did the 49ers know Nick Bosa? Here's the difference, though. He got injured the week before, right? And so then they had a week to kind of like figure stuff out. I don't think the 49ers defensive front was as strong as it is now, because now we got interior pressure. Plus, do you feel the players like Cleveland Farrell and those rotational guys, he might be starting, but the rotational guys, they got a lot of reps without Nick Bosa being there. Do you feel they might be more prepared? The team, the defense may be more prepared without Nick Bosa?
What do you think, Miles?
No.
Let me rephrase the question.
Go ahead.
Will they be able to perform well from their preparation without Nick Bosa? Is basically what I'm asking.
I mean, as well as they can. I mean, because if you phrase it that way, yeah, they've been playing without him, so mm-hmm. they've had to build chemistry amongst themselves and kind of figure that out. Are they going to be the defense that we expect them to be? Absolutely not. I think we've seen it throughout this preseason that we've barely been able to get pressure. Now, have all of our starters been out there? No. And I think, you know, with Steve Wilks' defense, he's going to bring some type of exotic blitzes. We saw some things that he's done with Fred Warner already. So they're going to have to find a way to manufacture that pressure if Nick Bosa is not going to be there week one. It's a yes when you phrase it the second way, but we know this is not going to be the defense that we expect it to be if Nick Bosa is not on the field.
All right, my man 49er Jeff says a big no. Also, 9 months strong. Purdy, 2 rushing TDs, 300-plus yards, 30-17, and Ronnie Bell with the TD. What if I told you Ronnie Bell doesn't play this game and Ray McCloud plays?
I wouldn't believe it.
I mean, hey, you can say you don't believe it, but guess what? Ray made the roster, and he didn't get put on the injured reserve, and he was at practice today, even though it was kind of like off to the sideline. I'm just saying, I'm not saying he'll be ready. I just feel like sometimes I feel like Kyle Shanahan just be toying with different situations. Ray mm-hmm. breaks his wrist. Ronnie, you're up. Ronnie performs. Ray's like, don't count me out, coach, before preseason ended. All of a sudden, Ray McCloud's on the goddamn roster, right? Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. So, look.
Ray might want to play this game because he used to play for Pittsburgh.
That's right. I forgot about that. I told you, man, it's hard. I can't even think straight. But, yeah.
Dang.
That is true.
Dang.
That's a good point.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, return guy. Possibly limit him a little bit.
Yes.
Let him get off. No pause. Because he's probably mad at them suckers. But at this point, look, I know everybody's going to be cringing. Now, what Ian Rappaport said was this, and I thought this was cool, but it's so funny because we keep extending the day. He said if mm-hmm. Nick Bosa isn't signed by Wednesday, if there's not a contract extension signed by Wednesday, don't look for Nick Bosa week one. Right? And so, like, damn, we still got to wait 2 more days, like 2 whole days for Nick Bosa, the Nick Bosa's watch. So, guys, just be ready, man. Look, if Nick Bosa is good and he signs on Wednesday and it's announced and he's out there practicing, he's going to play. I think he should play in limited snaps, but it is what it is. There was a question from Luis Marino. Let's see if I can find it. He said, I don't know if I can find it, but he did say, oh, here it is. Why not let him play out his contract, then franchise tag him? Now, I don't have the rules in front of me. Mos, do you mind looking this up or Peachy? Because I believe there are no guarantees when you get tagged.
There are no guarantees whenever you get franchised. I mean, that's why players don't like to do it.
I mean, as far as security, like health, all that type of stuff.
Right, because if they get hurt, then they're just screwed. That's why players do not like
tags.
That's why they don't like tags.
Now, they get all the money.
Yes.
That, yeah, when they sign the franchise tag, that money is guaranteed no matter what. They get that.
They get the money. So,
but if they get injured,
right,
then that hinders them for a long-term deal because now a team can say, well, you just tore your ACL. You're not going to be the same player. We're not going to sign you to a 4 or 5 year contract.
Bingo.
That's either, you know, market value or whatever because, you know, so that's why players. So, you know, that's a great question. Why not let him play out his contract and franchise him? Well, Nick already showed you he ain't showing up. He's willing. He's willing to get fined. He's willing to sit out the season to make a point that I'm not going to play if I don't have any long-term security. So while in theory that should work, you can't franchise tag him and make him play this season if he don't show up.
Well, it's too late to franchise tag him this year, but
anyway,
right. But as far as the fifth-year option, which is what he was granted, like it's $17.8 million. So let's just say it's $18 million. So Nick Bosa is guaranteed that $18 million. But remember, every time he misses, he's losing money on that deal, right? Also, because he's still on his rookie deal, the 49ers can waive the fines. So I'm sure that his agent is like, listen, my client ain't ever showing up. All right, you're going to waive all these fines, and you're going to make him the highest-paid player in football, like other than quarterbacks. And that's what the issue is. I really believe that's the issue.
I really have a feeling that Wednesday, I think, and the reason why I say that is because Rap Sheet was also talking about unless there's a significant breakthrough, I just have a feeling that something is just going to, like, the 49ers are just going to cave, and they're just going to do what he wants them to do to get him out there.
That's funny because he doesn't feel that way.
What is the point of stalling this long?
Like, Ian says, like it's not going to happen unless it's a significant breakthrough.
Right.
So, like, unless Nick Bosa's camp agrees to the 49ers' terms, first of all, we don't know any of the terms.
We do not. Thank you for saying that because everybody's just guessing.
Right. We're just guessing. We're just saying. Here's the thing. Bosa, we did this exercise before. Is Nick Bosa the best defensive player in the league?
Yes.
Show of hands if Nick Bosa is the best defensive player in the league. Okay. The best defensive player in the league, his name is Aaron Donald, and he's currently making $31.6 million or $7 million, right? So, Nick Bosa's camp is saying my client is the best defensive person in this league. Therefore, I want him to make more than the former current defensive best player in the league. That's the issue. So, the Niners are willing to make him the highest edge rusher. That's not the issue. The issue is what's the number? Because if Nick Bosa is saying 40, because that's where he started, and the Niners are like, man, you crazy. Right, which I don't think he started at 40, but I'm just saying like that's that negotiation.
Right.
So it depends on what that number is from Nick Bosa's camp and what the 49ers are going to have to continue to play with wiggle room. Now, I don't know if they have to continue to make wiggle room, because if it is a $2 million difference, you know what I'm saying, then, you know, they got to figure it out. They got to figure it out. And don't forget, we got to think about how it affects the team in the long run as well.
Right.
And that's something that Parag's going to have to do. You know, he's going to have to figure it out. But that's the latest on Bosa, guys. Yeah. Like, so there's a possibility that he won't be in attendance on Sunday. And so our chances are a little different.
It's just like, what is that saying that goes, in order to make an omelet, you have to break a few eggs.
Got
to
break a few eggs. Depending on what you want in that omelet, you're going to have to cut up some goods, some mushrooms, some onions, some peppers, some ham. I like ham and bacon. Give me all to put on the pig in the omelet. You have to do some things. You know what I'm saying?
And a bunch of ingredients.
And a bunch of ingredients, right. Yep. All right, so here's the latest injury report. Kittle with the adductor, Moody with the quad, Burks PCL, Gibson with some nicks and dinks, Mason with the foot, Ray McLeod with the wrist. Now, per Nick Wagner, all right, you had Kittle there. Kittle was working on the sideline before practice, so he was running. right before practice. So running with an adductor strain, that's a great sign, mm-hmm. right? Great sign. Yep. I'm trying to figure out what else he had. Let me look at that. Oh, Tashawn Gibson in his little interview said that he will be playing on freaking Sunday, all right? Yay. And so here are the guys that actually return back to practice. Talanoa Hufanga, George Odom, no longer in the non-contact blue jersey. Dre Greenlaw, full practice. And again, Tashawn Gibson, ready to go on Sunday. It looks like the 49ers defense will be intact, minus Nick Bosa. It looks like the offense, though, on the other hand, may be missing George Kittle. Let's talk about that.
I mean, if we don't have Kittle out there, I think that could be, that might be kind of significant, especially if we don't have Bosa and the offense has to carry this team. And, you know, to get these points up and everything, not having Kittle as, like, has been Brock's security blanket is going to be, like, bonkers if we don't have him out there.
I'm curious, Mose, how you feel about Kittle potentially, and this is not anything yet.
He just hasn't said, you're right.
He didn't practice today. There's no practice tomorrow. Will he practice on Wednesday and Thursday? Well, we'll find out. But how do you feel about Kittle not being in it, not being able to practice?
I mean, if we're talking about money and moving on from somebody, I think he might be one of the first people we need to look at. I piggyback off of what Peachy said. If he doesn't play, that means two of our biggest stars potentially won't be playing. And if our, like Peachy said, if our offense is going to have to carry this team in this game, that means we're going to have to be running the ball more. We're going to have to run the ball 30, 35, 40 times. And without our best blocking tight end, who we know he's going to need to be in, particularly on that right side, to help Colton McKivitz out, if he's not in there, how do we expect this team to be able to run the ball 30, 35, 40 times? Yep. So do I still think we can win? Absolutely. I think we have the weapons. I think we have the offensive continuity. I think we have, you know, playmakers at every level on both sides of the ball. Is it going to be a little bit more difficult? Hell yeah. You talked about a heart attack game. It could potentially be one of those games. You know, if George Kittle doesn't play, we're already worried about if Nick Bosa doesn't play. But now if Bosa and Kittle don't play, you know, now we're expecting, you know, other guys who we wouldn't normally ask to step up to step up. So, you know, that's something that, you know, we have to worry about. You know, the last game we saw this team on the field in a meaningful game, our quarterback got hurt. And, you know, some of the fan base and even the coach blamed it on the backup tight end. Yep. So having that same quarterback starting a meaningful game without our best blocking tight end and having backup tight ends having to block for him, imagine a formation where Ross Dwelly has to block TJ Watt. Excuse me? No, I'm not happy about that.
You put Dwelly out there. I'll put Charlie Warner on him. I think he'll do a better job than Dwelly.
But I agree with that. But in that Eagles game, now, why was it Tyler Croft that was lined up?
That's a totally different edge rusher though. Like Hassan.
Hassan Reddick and TJ Watt are two of the elite edge rushers in the league.
You could be elite Moles, but they still different. Hassan Reddick bases his pass rushing off of speed. That's what we were supposed to get from D Ford. A matter of fact, I don't even know how he playing on them cheap ass contracts. Like I don't.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is what does them being different type of pass rushers matter when you have an inferior blocker?
Because their skill set. Because their skill set. It was speed that beat Tyler Croft. It was speed.
And if based on the formation offensively,
let me finish.
If Dwelly is lined up against TJ Watt, I don't care if TJ Watt don't have the speed of Hassan Reddick.
Can I finish?
TJ Watt is more technically sound. He's more technically sound. He's gonna beat him.
What I'm trying to say is The difference between Reddick knew the play. Reddick was so far out from that play, it probably confused the hell out of Tyler Croft because he wasn't expecting a guy to be that far lined out to the right. We watched it over and over again. Then, on top of that, Croft makes the block. It's just that Reddick bends and dips and gets around him, and he gets to the elbow of Brock Purdy, who I still feel like held that ball a little too long, but that's nonetheless. I get what you're saying, but my point is they're different. They're not – like, you're not going to get a guy – you're going to get a more intact edge rusher from T.J. Watt. He's different built, different skill set, still got speed, still got power, but he ain't lining up. You see him lined up that far. Ain't no way he making a play like Hassan Reddick made is what I'm trying to say. He might make a different play.
Nobody's talking about him being lined up that far. We're talking about the one-on-one matchup.
I'm talking about him being lined up that far.
But that doesn't mean anything.
It does, because that's the only reason why Brock is hurt. If he wasn't lined up that far, Reddick wasn't getting to him like that, even though he got to him on a different type of play. Like, my point is, that play, he just knew it. That was he just knew the play. He knew the formation. I'm hoping our
right. He knew it. He knew it, and he won. And he beat his man and got to where he was supposed to get. If T.J. Watt beats his man and gets to where he's supposed to get,
we don't know.
That's the problem.
We don't know if he's going to beat his man. That's my point.
Is the probability that T.J. Watt beats Ross Dwelly high?
I'm not putting
Is it a high probability?
But I'm not putting Ross Dwelly there. That's my point.
You're not putting Ross Dwelly there, but Kyle might.
Nah, he not that stupid.
He put Tyler Croft out there, and then he blamed him.
And then
he put Croft out there and blamed him. What makes you think that Kyle wouldn't do it again?
So we're saying our head coach can't learn from his mistakes?
Has he proven that he can?
When the fuck have we played football after we lost that game? Don't count preseason. Preseason don't count.
I'm not counting preseason. He's been our coach for 6 seasons, and he still makes some of the same mistakes, like putting Tyler Croft on Hassan Reddick. That's a mistake.
It was a mistake, and all I'm saying is we got to see if he'll do it again. If he do it again, you win. If he don't do it again, I win. Only if the person he put the block blocks T.J. Watt.
But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about if Kittle doesn't play, am I worried? Yes, I'm worried, because that means we're going to have to ask people who don't normally step up in those situations to do things that they don't do, which could possibly mean that Ross Dwelly is the guy based on the formation that has to block T.J. Watt one-on-one.
I just don't think you do the same shit. If you know your guy is going to have issues.
We know you're smarter than Kyle Shanahan. Nobody's arguing that. We know you think better than Kyle Shanahan does. We know you don't let your ego get in the way.
I'm hoping Kyle Shanahan doesn't do this. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm hoping he doesn't make that mistake.
I agree. We all are. But the probability or possibility of that happening is higher if Kittle doesn't play.
At the end of the day, bro, like, you know, Kyle draws up the play. He's done it plenty of times. It's never reverted to that magnitude. That play has been done multiple times last year. It was just on a guy like Reddick. And I'm not saying that T.J. Watt isn't better than Reddick. I'm not saying that he's worse than Reddick. What I'm trying to say is Reddick just – his athleticism and speed made that play messed up. I think if it was any other – regular edge rusher, that play would have been a nice little block. Brock would have had an extra second to probably get that ball and rip it down the field. If it's T.J. Watt out there, I really don't know. I don't feel like T.J. Watt is beating somebody with a speed rush like I watched Hassan Reddick do. So I'm you're right. Kyle's gonna run that same damn play, and it might be Ross Dwelly.
Yeah, I just think you're not putting respect on T.J. Watt. That man had 22.5 sacks in the NFL.
It's not that I'm not putting respect on him. It's just
like
that
T.J. Watt is him.
It's just that I'm not saying he's not highly effective. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying in that particular play, from what I saw, that was Reddick just making a speed, like, I'm faster than this guy, and I'm going to get around him type of thing. I feel like as bad as Dwelly blocks, I don't know, maybe Dwelly clips, do something. Don't protect the quarterback. Trip him, clip him, slip him, hit him in the nuts. Do what you got to do. Get 15 yards. Just don't let your quarterback get touched. I don't know what that situation was, but Kyle was running that play like predominantly throughout the regular season, and it never – we didn't play T.J. Watt, and maybe we just didn't play a guy like Hassan Reddick. Maybe that's kind of like what it is.
Right.
So do I agree with you? Yeah, but at the end of the day, like – I don't know what Watt is going to do. I don't really give a fuck. I haven't watched him play like I've watched other players play. He's in the AFC. Don't watch much of their football. But will he be dominant in this game? Absolutely, because you have to negate him. Like, that's the – you take him out, and then you live with whatever Cameron Hayward does on the opposite end. For me, that's my game plan. Nullify him. Same way they would do Nick Bosa. You take Nick Bosa out, and you make the other person beat you one-on-one. And Cameron Hayward had double-digit sacks left. So they got a tough defense. They got a strong, elite, stout defense as far as the edge, as far as the front. But their linebackers is suspect. And my thing is, if Kittle doesn't play, how do we take advantage of that? Right? How do you take advantage of the middle? The linebackers are trash. Before the safeties get into play, you got to get through the level of the linebackers. And that's where Kittle can expose this freaking pits. I'm about to call them the Pirates. That's where he can expose this defense. But him not being there, who we exposing them with?
That's right.
And don't just tell me running backs. Ross Dwelly? Braden Willis?
He gonna have to figure something out.
Now, I will say this about Kittle, right? I agree that he's not durable, and but he led the team in touchdowns last year with 11, right? And once he found his niche, once he found his string and his way to go, he was unstoppable in the pass catching game, even in the run game. So I feel like him missing this game. Okay, maybe they saving them for week one. Maybe they just went and get them week the first week at home. I don't know. I'm hoping he dresses up. I'm hoping he's ready to go. But if he's not available to go, who's more detrimental to the team missing, him or Bosa? And I know they both are, but I feel like the Niners can figure out a way to manufacture some offense on
right.
without Kittle.
And Bosa, it's just going to be different because I see people that are talking about, you know, we got Hargrave. Well, I understand that, but we didn't get Hargrave expecting to miss Bosa. That's not what we did there. What we did was try to make it easier on Bosa when he was out there. So now Hargrave is going to be the one that's going to get all these targets and all these double teams and everything. So it's basically like negating what we got him for in the first place, because we did not get him for this. We got him so that Bosa would be able to utilize his skills and be able to get around better and to rush the passer. And now we're back to not being able to rush the passer because we're missing our most important player on defense.
Yeah. I mean, like Mo said earlier, they're going to have to – Steve Wilks is going to have to figure some things out.
Yeah.
Because their offensive line is pretty stout too. So, like – but then when you blitz, it's the gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Straight drop. Y'all boys ain't ready for us. Amen.
Thank you for watching. We appreciate it.
Amen. This is what we want. So
we love our right. We love this.
So
thank you.
I will say that
bring all your fans.
Yeah, like
bring
it's
them
gonna, all. I'm not worried about. All right, let me ask you this: what scares you other than T.J. Watt about the Steelers?
George mother.
Why doesn't
Pickens.
He scare me like that, bro?
I don't fear him, Moles.
I don't
want to seem like I'm, you know, riding a jock of the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I don't think we can take this team lightly at all.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
And with what this team has been able to do, and with the chemistry that Kenny Pickett has been able to find with George Pickens, like, he can open this game wide open.
He can.
Like I think his ability to stretch the field. George Pickens he's a dog.
I like that.
With the way he plays, it seems like he wants it more than everybody else. And that's a dangerous combination when you might be the underdog, especially at home. You got this 49er team coming in who pretty much the whole offseason was about this team and what's happening with Brock Purdy and what's going on with Trey Lance and all of this other kind of stuff. And, you know, it's the 49ers, it's the Eagles, and it's nobody else in the NFC. And right. The Steelers are just this AFC team that are in the way of the 49ers, you know, quest for six. Like, if there's one player that I'm scared of, it's George Pickens. And where they line him up and who's he going to take advantage of? I think we're going to try to put Mooney on him, but is Mooney going to travel and be across from George Pickens all day? I don't know. George Pickens on Diamador Lenore or George Pickens on Isaiah Oliver, that worries me. And I just got to be honest about it. Like, that's one of the things when I'm in the stadium, I'm going to watch where they put 14 and who's across from me, because he's a big play waiting to happen. And when we're talking about those close games, those heart attack games, one big play can swing momentum and it never go back. So that's one of the things that I'm worried about, is him making a big play that gets the team excited, that gets the fan base excited, and swings momentum in the favor of the Steelers, and we can't grab it back.
Which is why they have such a great, like, home opening record. And they've only lost just, like, maybe one game. One or two games, and that's it.
Yeah, but it ain't this regime, so fuck that. This regime ain't played at home in a minute. So it ain't this team. That was a Ben Roethlisberger, that was Ben and some teams way back in 2014. But this regime, I'm not, that home opening record, you could throw it out. They ain't played at home in many moons. So, like, technically, they're a road team, the way I see, even though they're at home. Now, I will say Kyle Shanahan is 2-6 on the road, but, I mean, 2-6 in his tenure, but he's won two of his games on the road, beat Tampa, and I forgot the other team that we beat. But I just feel like when it comes to the Steelers, it's not Pickens that worries me. I feel like the 49ers can find a way to tame him, because they typically do that. And I was going to ask this question, because remember when we played the Bengals? It's another team in that conference, and we had to deal with Ja'Marr Chase. Now, Ja'Marr Chase finished with two touchdowns, but, I mean, they kept him tame. They kept the big plays out. Those touchdowns came closer to, like, you know, the goal line or whatnot. So I feel like he can be tamed. Deontay Johnson is the one I'm worried about. The one that struggled last year, that couldn't find himself, that was dealing with injuries, all that type of stuff. If you go back to 2021, he was the leading wide receiver. And so, like, that dude was a monster. Now, if you're telling me George Pickens is coming of age and coming into his own, I'm doubling him. I'm trying to find a way to limit him. Now, what will Deontay Johnson do if he lines up in the slot and does certain things? So, them two receivers, I feel like just two receivers, one of them is going to have a good day. Like, one of them is going to be consistently good. I just think we need to find a way to keep him out of the end zone. Like, that's it. Like, if you gave up 100 yards to Pickens and 78 yards, that's a lot of yards, right? But you kept him not scoring, you keep him from – I'm cool with that. They got to find a way to bend, don't break in this game. But the Niners don't get beat deep, bro. It's more – the Niners don't get beat deep, but it's more like if they do something underneath Moles, can they make an explosive play? Or if the Niners make a mistake and miss a tackle, the next thing you know, boom, those weird explosive plays. It's kind of how I'm looking at it. What do you feel about Najee Harris? Do you pass catch and running back out of the backfield? Yeah. They don't use him right.
I don't think Pittsburgh uses him properly.
They don't use him properly.
I think Najee Harris needs to be in an offense like Tennessee with the way they use Derrick Henry. I don't think Pittsburgh uses him properly. Maybe back in the day, maybe a Bill Cowher coach Steelers team with the way they use Jerome Bettis. That might be a fit for him, but I don't – I think what they thought they were getting out of Najee Harris was like the second coming of a Le'Veon Bell. But Le'Veon Bell, although he didn't have a lot of speed, he was more elusive. And he was so patient.
Stop
it. It threw people's timing off. Like, even when you knew, all right, he's going to slow play this to find his lane, You just still weren't ready for the stop and going the way he moved. Najee isn't as patient as Le'Veon Bell is. He isn't as elusive. He's more of a power style running back. He does have some finesse, like you said, being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. But I'm really not worried about Najee Harris in this game. I know we have an issue with our run defense and being able to, you know, stop the run up the middle. So that you would think that that would favor a power running back like Najee Harris is being able to run up the middle against this team. But I think with Javon Hargrave and Eric Armstead in the middle consistently, you know, playing 70-80% of the snaps in the middle, I think we'll be fine from a defensive standpoint of being able to stop this running attack and forcing Kenny Pickett to throw the ball. I'm not worried about Najee Harris.
I'm not going to say I'm not worried. They got a couple of running backs. They're going to look to move that ball up the middle. They're not an outside zone team, so that I'm not worried about. It's more them getting up in between the tackles, like you said. If you stop the run game, force them to be one-dimensional, I think my only concern is, like, if we don't have the pressure, right, if we have to manufacture pressure, that is a little bit of a concern to me, because now you're taking away from the pass D, and I preferably want my linebackers playing pass, you know what I'm saying, when they need to play pass because they have elite skills to play the pass. And so, like, when I'm looking at this 49ers defense and I'm saying, man, if we're going to be blitzing guys, I'm hoping the exotic blitzes are going to be timely by certain positions and not overutilized with the linebackers or the safeties or even the corners. I'm hoping we don't overutilize the blitz, period. I mean, it is Kenny Pickens. I don't care what he did in preseason. Now we're talking real football. And so I know in real football, he's not good, right? In real football. I mean, he showed some signs of him growing strides, going through his growing pains. And shout out to the Steelers for even giving him the opportunity to go through that. That's what most teams do. But I just feel like if the Niners don't have Bosa to generate that pass rush, to be that predominant pass rusher, the Steelers are going to try to find a way to negate with screens and quick throws, and they're not going to try to dial the ball up down the field. So most, they got to play like that underneath coverage. They got to know when to play underneath, because that ball is going to be coming out hot. And so, like, for me, that's my concern. Are they a yak team?
They could be.
How
you're explaining it, I think that's when I get worried. If we got a Britz Fleet Warner a lot, I think we got to worry about Najee Harris out of the backfield. But I think we also have to worry about their tight end, Pat Freiermuth, him being able to kind of control things over the middle. I heard that shot too. Talking about Pittsburgh and letting their quarterback develop. I worry about
Brock develop.
Nah, we know what you meant.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I worry about Freiermuth over the middle. If you know we're blitzing our linebackers, Najee Harris catching the ball out of the backfield.
Another weapon of theirs, and then
those are our best tacklers, right? Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw. When our best tacklers aren't able to, you know, man that air part of the field and be there to initiate those tackles, then that's when you talk about some of those missed tackles. And then that, you know, can get a lot of yaks. So I don't know, you know, what our defensive plan is. I wonder if we don't have Nick Bosa, will we play a lot of single high?
That's a great question.
And we have Hufanga in the box, and then we just disguise who's coming.
I'm playing cover one all day, Moes. I'm cover one in it all day. I think that's the 49ers' strength. Mm-hmm. I think they can cover one, and the cool thing about it is interchangeable, right? You can have Gibson start at the deep safety, and then Hufanga drops back. Gibson runs up for a blitz, or Gibson runs up to the – like, they're so cool. And they can switch. They can drop to a two deep. Like, I just feel like the Niners will be prepared from a pass defensive perspective, because that's who our coach is. That's mm-hmm. the mind of our coach. The pass, Peachy talked about the – like, they have to figure out how to generate this pass rush. Like
yes.
Drake Jackson, Cleveland Farrell, Kerry Hyder Jr., Austin Bryant. Like, they got to find a way to not just sack the QB, make his life disruptive, right?
Right.
Disrupt Kenny Pickett. He's still a young kid.
Right. You got to – what we have to do is we have to find a way to throw him off balance so that he's out here just – throwing this ball, that's how our secondary is going to be able to get INTs, PBUs, all this stuff that we're going to need. Because we're going to need our secondary to be able to affect this game in a lot of different ways. If we are missing him and then, you know, this pass rush, whatever. But if we can get to Pickett and rattle him, that would be great. We don't have to necessarily, you know, like sack him. But, you know, if we can, you know, tackle him, get to him, get him to where, you know, he's just thrown off balance because he is very young. He is a very, very young quarterback. And they are all prone to make mistakes. And all we need is just him to make a couple of mistakes. And the game is ours.
This is one of the reasons why I love the signing of Cleveland Farrell. Because... Getting to the quarterback, whether he makes the sack or not, the quarterback's getting touched. I don't know if that's a Raider way. You watch their other defensive end do that to Patrick Mahomes, but they make sure they find a way to put hands on the quarterback in a legal way, right? In a safe way, right? And so the one thing I love about Cleveland Farrell is the dude is if he starts the game on high, he finishes the game on high. And I want him to always have that mindset. So you're right. Maybe they just find a way just to get into his head. But I expect Kenny Pickett to be quick throwing. He's probably going to be highly accurate on these quick throws because if you're concaving that in, that pocket in, and he steps up in that pocket and he has a guy on a quick crossing route, he's looking to throw that ball, the Niners got to tackle. Now, let's talk about Isaiah Oliver because if he's the starting nickelback, that could be a problem for the San Francisco 49ers. wait, because of the type of receivers they have, right? If they're a bigger body, like, I mean, George Pickens is a big guy. You put George Pickens in the slot.
Allen Robb, too.
They got Allen Robinson.
Yeah. Now, and you guys took the words out of my mouth because I was going to ask you, will the Niners allow another ancient dinosaur wide receiver to score a touchdown and have, like, over 100 yards? You know who the other ancient one I'm talking about? He played for the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, you're talking about Fitz?
Not Fitz. After Fitz. Fitz retired. This was last year.
A.J. Green?
A.J. freaking Green, man.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dude
that's
ain't caught right. a pass since 88. He comes into the game. Gibson got beat and didn't make the tackle.
That's bad.
Just mental mistakes, mental breakdowns or whatever, like that. Lenore got beat. That's what happened. And Gibson didn't make the tag. He didn't save the day. So will Allen Robinson be a guy?
Yep.
So many little intricate things. Because you know what I know about the Steelers? Their wide receivers know how to play wide receiver.
Yes. Very well. Like, better than anybody in the league. That's better one thing that they can do.
Anybody in the league.
Is play wide receiver.
Interesting. So something to pay attention to as the matchups go down, because Mo's already said, hey, you better put Mooney on Pickens. I would put Lenore on Pickens.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like Lenore's nastier. Like he's nastier. How tall is Pickens?
6'3".
That's a big guy.
Yeah. 6'3 versus 5'10. No way. And he's slow. Pickens runs in a 4.4. Demo is not that. No.
Yeah, but Mooney's not that fast either.
But he can bigger. Make it up, and he has longer arms. So, like, if he needs to stretch out, whatever, I'm putting my best guy. Our best guy is Mooney. Mooney on Pickens.
I could tell you right now that the Steelers are going to change that up on us. So I could tell you right now that shit's not going to stay the way you want it to be. So I could see Pickens right now moving into the slot. This is where I think Oliver, I know, but this is where I think Oliver may strive. I think because he's a bigger guy, I know speed matters, but he's a bigger guy. I think Oliver may do better on a guy like Pickens in the slot. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I kind of wish that our slot guy was as fast as Pickens, but our slot guy is big as well and usually catches the ball pretty damn well. I'm talking about JJ. So prepare for the Steelers to change the matchup.
Oh, of course.
Is what I'm trying to say, especially if it ain't working. Now, right. I've watched, if on fast guys, I've watched Mooney kind of not get beat, but like give up plays to number one. So like it's gonna be interesting to see how we kind of come out there. But I expect if I'm the Steelers, I'm making sure Pickens lines up in that slot and put out Allen Robb, who's another big guy with another 6'3" guy, right? Like he's big, if I'm not mistaken. Speed might be a little slower, but he's mm-hmm. still a big guy. That's another mismatch. You throw him over Lenore, it's a mismatch, right? Maybe put Womack out there. He's more of a playmaking, even though he's still short in size, he's more of a playmaking DB. I don't know, man. This is going to be...
It's going to be a chess match is what it's going to be. Ah. And you have Mike Tomlin on the other side. And
Mike Tomlin versus Kyle Shanahan.
I feel like that people are not not grasping that very well. That's what makes me so nervous about this game is that you have one of the best coaches ever on the other side
of
going against Kyle Shanahan. And it's just one of those things where, man, it's crazy. I don't know what you guys talked about earlier, but I'm worried about our tackling. I'm worried about Najee Harris. And in the run game.
Really? Because he's been fucking trash in fantasy football for me. So I'm
not
worried.
Understand that.
I'm not. And that's why I'm not worried. I'm not. Like, every year I draft him, trash. The one year I don't draft him, which is this year, I ain't picking up any drafts, might be the day. But I'm telling you right now, he's just not a good running back. He's just not a good running back. I know you're worried about the Niners run defense, Peachy. Mm-hmm. That was preseason, and guys were missing.
We'll see.
I don't know. Just saying, I don't like to use the word trash, but you know what I mean. Like, he's just not.
I know.
He hasn't been good.
He's not been productive like he should be. But I don't know. Teams seem to show up against the Niners. They just tend to do things different. We'll see. But I am concerned about the run defense. But like you said, we haven't seen our starters really out there. We'll see how that goes.
Look, they're not an edge rushing. They're not an outside run zone team, right? And so, like, that to me is when you would hope Nick Bosa would be out there and help set in the edge. Mm-hmm. I don't think you got to do much edge running. Now, they do have another running back, that Jaylen Warren.
You're talking about Warren, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's a little different. He's a different pace of a running back. So, mm-hmm. they got weapons. But my point is, like, I think, number one, you start by taking away George Pickens, Deontay Johnson. And you live with whatever Najee Harris gives you in the pass catching game,
and you
limit him in the run game. Will the Niners' run defense be able to step up against this team? They got a solid offensive line. They got a good tight end in Pat Freiermuth.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Another person that doesn't perform well in fantasy football, but he's just a good tight end overall.
Yes.
But look, I'm just saying. Look, the Niners. Mo said it best earlier. It's not going to be a cakewalk. Mm-hmm. But if the Niners go in and execute their game plan, they can walk out victorious and be road warriors starting 1-0.
So Mike was saying plus 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns is trash.
It was trash, bro. It was trash.
Because it wasn't consistent. I had Najee Harris in one of my leagues, and it wasn't consistent. It was like spread out, and it would be like 6, 4, 12, mm-hmm. 22, 2, 3. 15-7.
It was crazy, yeah.
And I know Mike likes to look at the overall numbers and things like that, and that's all good and fine and dandy. He finished well. That's why I said I didn't want to say he was trash, but as far as, like, this might not be the game where he gets you 100 rushing yards.
I hope not.
I don't see it unless he's changed.
Right.
His, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't see it when it comes to Najee. Good kid, California kid. I wish he was just on a different team. I think he would fare well better on a different team. That's just me personally.
I agree with that. Allen Robb, I know he's been around and stuff, and he's older, but this dude right here can listen, football, I just don't feel like that he fit with what the Rams were doing. And because it's more, you know, because it's just about give it to Cup, you know, and this and that, and he really never got a play. See, now you have him out there, and I believe that he's going to make, like, a major impact because Pickens is going to be covered majority, so you got to have free targets out there, and I think that Allen Robb is going to – I can see him being pretty productive in this game.
It's possible. I don't fear their third wideout. It would be more negating one and limiting two. And whatever Allen Robb gets you, good for them. But I just don't – he doesn't pose to be a matchup for me that I'm really worried about because is he playing in a slot? I mean, there's plenty of slot guys we can utilize. So I'm not – I don't know. You're right. Like, I don't think the Rams used him right, but they might not have used him right for a reason. And maybe he's just winding down in his career. I mean, he was the guy in Chicago, but – was he the most franchise tag wide receiver of all time? Felt like he was franchise tag for like nine years straight.
He was franchise tag for so many times.
Felt like it was like 9 years straight, yo. We got some super
He was in Jacksonville. He left Jacksonville and went to Chicago.
That's what I meant. Yeah, Jacksonville too, though. He was franchise tag like 4 or 5 times in Jacksonville, bro.
He was only 30.
Oh, well, he was franchise tagged a lot. I don't know where.
It seems like that he's...
Or was it either him or Alshon Jeffries. One of them two.
I think it was Alshon.
It could have been Alshon. I felt like Robb was franchise tagged at least twice.
I thought Allen Robb
2 to 3 times.
Yeah, I thought he was franchised a couple of times.
No, he was in Jacksonville for 4 years.
That's where he was drafted.
And then...
Chicago.
He was in Chicago for 4 years. Then he was in L.A.
Oh, so he has never franchise tagged?
I don't think he was, because after his rookie contract, he left Jacksonville because he was injured his last year, signed a deal with Chicago, you know, kind of turned up a little bit, but then his last year he was hurt, and then he signed in 2022 with the Rams.
All right, so maybe it was Alshon Jeffries is the guy that I'm thinking of. Jax wants to know, who would you guys play in Bosa's spot?
I'd probably put Cleland there and then put Drake Jackson on the other side.
I think that's how they've been practicing.
Yes, that's how it's been going, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kerry Hyder started and Drake came in and did his thing, but I don't know.
Now that you say it, I wouldn't be surprised either, but I don't like that. Let Drake play. His athleticism and just what he's able to do, even though he hasn't really put it all together from the pass rushing perspective, just his athleticism and his freak ability to just wreck a play, like that's what we're going to need this week if we don't have Bosa. We're going to need somebody that can make plays in a bunch of different ways.
That's right.
Instead of, I think Kerry Hyder is one dimensional. And I think you take away that one dimension that he has, he really doesn't do much.
I agree.
Whereas Drake, he can do a bunch of different things. You know, he's going to get his hands up in the passing lanes, and maybe he gets one or two batted passes. You know, he's going to help set the edge. He's going to be disruptive in the run. If you need him to drop back in coverage, although we shouldn't have him doing that, he can do that. So I think because he affects the game in so many different ways with his athleticism and just freak ability to just move and play football, he needs to be out there. He needs to get those reps. So.
Yep.
But when you say that,
I mean,
because of how this defense is run, and because of Kerry Hyder's experience and his veteranship and his connection with Chris Kocerek, like it all makes sense. I don't like it.
I hear you. I just feel, yeah, he does need to get the reps, but you know, Kyle is funny about giving people reps. Let's get to the next Super Chat contribution.
That clip is fully loaded tonight.
Sean is back. Pew, pew, pew. Sean, what's going on? He says, I think We're going to see Fred and the linebackers blitzing, Mo.
Yeah.
I don't want to send Greenlaw on a blitz.
I mean, I wouldn't mind it. Because if he's coming with a vengeance. He's not.
Oh, but.
He's not going to blitz like a sucker.
Got to stay back, bro. Like,
yeah, if we send in a linebacker, let it be one. And mm-hmm. how we send him, if it's going to be Fred, let it just be Fred. If it's going to be Dre, let it just be Dre. If it's going to be Huff, let it be Huff. Like, don't send two or three of them. And I mean, that's based on the situation.
Unless you know, you know, you got the trunk, you got, the, I don't want to say that word, but you got the car, you got that, you know, you about to.
Like, it's third and eight, it's third and 18.
All out.
You trying to send everybody just for him to get the ball out of his hands and ensure that you get this fourth down so that they can punt. Cool. But like, don't send all of them. Don't send more than two. Like, let the front do what they do, and if you need to send an extra guy, pick one, disguise who's coming, however you're going to do that. I think we see them blitz a lot.
I wouldn't be surprised. First play on defense, Wilkes dials it up, though. I wouldn't be surprised.
As a statement play? Absolutely.
I would do that on the road.
Absolutely.
If you give up a big play, oh, well, you know your defense mm-hmm. will come back. But if you hit home... Oof.
Yeah, as a statement.
That would silence the crowd. Well, the crowd's going to be predominantly red and gold anyway, but that would silence the black and yellow.
Definitely. I literally forgot about that. Thanks, Ghost, for that. Quan is on that team. I forgot about that.
He washed, too.
Washed, too. I ain't worried about him at all.
All these washed players, huh?
You know that they're going to bring him out there against the 49ers.
They're going to bring him out there. He's going to get hit in the ribs, and he's going to be crawling off the side of the field.
And one of the things that we know is he missed tackles.
So we should take advantage. So, matter of fact, so put him please, out there. I'm going
please try to
his way.
Please try to tackle CMC and not wrap up.
Yeah.
And let him make you look silly.
I get Debo on Quan. Give anyone dogs, yo.
If Debo lower the shoulder and run Quan over,
he should retire. Easy retire. Easy retire. Week one, he'll be retiring the 2023 season. JP Hella Hart says, Niners got to take the long way home. No shortcuts. Niners got to take. I like that Super Chat contribution, too. 490. That's different. Niners got to take the long way home. No shortcuts. What does that mean to you?
That means we gotta pull out all the stops. This is not gonna be one of those games where you could just get away with, you know, what you would normally get away with against a team that, you know, you don't really gotta come, you know, play hard against. You don't really gotta really get deep into your bag of, you know, your plays and pull stuff out. Right. Like, this may not be, you know, the Saints game from a couple of years ago. But it's going to be one of those games that it's going to be a hard-fought game. This is not going to be, oh, we walk into Pittsburgh and we walk out of there with a 31-7 victory. Like, I would love for that to happen. Of course I want that to happen. I'd be talking my shit all throughout Pittsburgh if that happens. But I don't believe that is going to be the case. So everybody's going to have to show up depending on who's not there and who doesn't play. We already talked about possibly not having Bosa, possibly not having Kittle. Everybody is going to have to step up and show up in order for us to get this win and get back to Santa Clara 1-0.
All right. Very well said. Very well said. Let's keep going with this game plan versus the Steelers, all right? So, like, Peachy, give me one thing the 49ers have to do to walk out of, what is it, Arkansas Stadium?
Accenture. It's Heinz Field.
What do they have to do to walk out Heinz Field victorious?
What I just said, you have to be able to get to the quarterback. Like
pressure.
Right. You have to pressure the quarterback, affect like him in the pocket. Like every time he's in there, like you have to affect him, hit him, do something to him, even if you can't sack him. But it'd be nice to get some sacks, but definitely affect every time he gets ready to do something because you gotta rattle him. And I do believe that our big boy, I believe that we can definitely rattle him enough to get him off, you know, to throw him off his game.
So you believe even without Nick Bosa,
even without Niners will... Nick Bosa, I think that if we can get to him, because what I worry about more than anything missing Bosa is rushing the passer, being able to get to the problem that we had last year because Bosa kept getting double teamed so much is towards the end of the year, it was hard for him to get any sacks, which is why he didn't break the sack record because we couldn't get to the quarterback. We barely even flustered the quarterbacks that we played later on in the season. In the beginning, we could. And then later on, he was getting on these double teams and everything. So I feel like that if we're able to pressure the quarterback into making mistakes, that's how we come out with the victory.
But you so it's an if. So, like, you're right. Not confident that we will.
No.
But.
No, I guess not. No. Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. So if the pressures is there, if the mm-hmm. pressures are there, we should be able to walk out this game victorious.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. All mm-hmm. right, cool. Mose, game plan versus the Steelers. Peachy talked about pressure from the defensive side. You can stick with the defensive side if you choose, but how do we walk out of this game? How do we walk out of Heinz 57 victorious?
Find Minka Fitzpatrick. Wherever he is,
don't throw
and stay away from him.
Although,
stay away,
right,
from Minka Fitzpatrick.
I'm with you, Mose.
You know what's funny, Mose? What's funny is that the Niners won't test Minka because they don't throw the ball down the field anyway.
Ooh, another.
So what they'll do is throw it underneath. Now, if you want to go back to 2020, whatever that year was, they came. And Kyle Juszczyk caught the pass underneath. Mm-hmm. He said, "Hey, Minka, I'm right here."
Exactly.
And gave him the stiffy of his life.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Pause, pause, pause. Whoa. It's a stiff arm, guys.
Whoa. So say that. Say the whole thing. Say stiff arm.
I
don't
have
say
to
say stiffy.
Look. He gave him the stiff arm, all right?
No!
And that's even wrong, too. Like, saying stiff arm, that sounds mad suspect, man.
No, it doesn't. That's a move, stiff arm.
Like, stiff arm, like, boom. Anyway, all I'm saying is, like, he gave him the stiff arm. That's what he did. Flipped him over. So what I'm saying is...
Flipped him over and gave him a stiffy, huh? Yo, Breezy, you are wild, bro.
That is not wild, bro.
Hold up.
That is not what I said. That is what you said. You put that together. Don't put that on me, Ricky.
Nah, you said it, dog.
I put the words in the universe. I did not say that. That is not what I said. Y'all watching this show? That is not what
I
said.
Hey, yo.
I got to clip that.
Yes, please.
I took 8 part. Shots at Kyle Shanahan and Purdy, bro.
Damn. Quite a few.
Damn.
I told you that clip fully loaded tonight.
It's just the
clip. But no, seriously, you do stay away from him, but I think you attack mm-hmm. him underneath. And you allow your playmakers, your pass catchers, your yak guys to take advantage of him.
Yeah.
If need be. This is what you get from Minka. He's probably the best safety in football. Arguably. To me, he's my number one. Derwin James is my number two. Mm-hmm. And then I got to start digging through the crates. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those are my top two safeties. And they're two different types of safeties, right? You got your box. You got your free safety. So, no, I did not, Sean. See, that's the – see, y'all minds are dirty. Mike, don't encourage any of the stuff that's going on inside of this chat. That's the problem. That's why we gonna limit our Monday night shows because y'all are the worst. because if I associate my arm with my, you get what I'm saying? It's still a stiff arm. At the end of the day, it's a stiff arm. So it was a stiff arm. All right. So he gave him the stiff arm, strong stiff. That's what I should have said.
No, you shouldn't have. You keep making it worse. You keep making it worse.
Anyway, attack them underneath. You should be good to go. All right? That's my theory. Mo says stay away from him, which I am. And then I'm going to target him once I get the ball in my hand and ask him to make the tackle. Now, listen, like I said, Fitzpatrick, my favorite safety in the league. So we'll see how that pans out. He's a problem. They do have old man Peterson there, though. Any worries about Peterson, guys?
Yeah.
Really? I feel like he still gives. No.
See, now you're being hypocritical because I was just telling you about Allen Robb.
Nah, Peterson's still
that different. That's why he's not in Minnesota no more.
Minnesota got rid of their whole fucking defense. The only person here is Harrison Smith. No, he's not there because they couldn't afford him because they still got to pay Kirk Cousins $80 billion. And then they got to figure out how they're going to pay the rest. I'm just saying, Patrick Peterson, he might be in a system that fits. Joey Porter, the rookie, junior.
He
had five picks last year.
That's what I'm saying, yo. You still got to put respect on his name. Well, how many touchdowns Allen Robinson have?
P2 had five picks last year?
Yeah, and how many touchdowns A-Rob had? Zero?
He was in the...
Zero.
He was zero. In
the, okay, but he was with the Rams, and that was different.
It don't fucking matter. It didn't matter. Cooper Kupp was injured the damn near whole season.
He had three. He had three.
And who was their quarterback?
Stafford, and then Baker Mayfield.
They made Baker. I bet you they all came from Bake. Who they got rid of. I'll take five interceptions over his three touchdowns any day.
All right. We got some super chats we need to get to.
Yeah. Let's get to these super chats. I'm not going to forget your milestone. I see it. We still talking about the game plan. We're going to talk about this game plan. Let's finish up this game plan. Let's get to Sean's milestone. 6 months. Sean's been in the building for 6 months on the cruise. You can tell Breezy is a good teacher. Plus positive, but come on, Breezy. Why are you trying to have Spud Webb guard Megatron? First of all, Spud Webb was a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So was D'Amador Lenore. I'll leave it at that. All right. Why are you trying to have Kyle knows Tomlin. They were on the same staff in Tampa. Ooh, interesting. Who has more Super Bowls, though?
Right.
Burning steel on Sunday. Are we making Valorian steel on Sunday, y'all?
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so.
I really hope so. Sean with the super chat. Thank you, Sean.
No, we ain't got to read that one because Sean is nasty.
Thank you, Chapman, for the super chat. We appreciate
Chapman's
it.
Chapman's in the building! Wait a minute.
Okay.
It's the second part that's the most important.
Keep it PG, Wayne.
Yes. This is a family show.
Man. All right.
He said Q Knight is the best safety in the NFL. That. Thank you, John, for the super chat. We appreciate you tuning in to Nitty Gritty Niners.
If I hear anything, first of all, saying stiffy is pretty PG now. Now that I think about it, it might not have been PG 10 years ago, but it's definitely PG now. It was PG 13 10 years ago. Now I feel like it came to PG. You know what? Anyway, JP hella hard. Go ahead. 490.
Said, I'm faithful for opportunities we have in front of us. I hear you.
I just feel like the Niners need to figure out a way to set the tone against a tough opponent on Sunday. You know what we didn't factor in? The fact that the Niners are playing early. They're flying out to the East Coast, and they got to play an early game, which is really, they're playing really at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Like, or 11 a.m., or whatever the time frame. You know, I'll be knowing how to
it's
do that,
10.
John.
Yeah.
10. Thank you, PG. So, like, I don't know how much that's going to factor in. Usually, when the Niners got to do, like, a string of East Coast games, they're on the road on the East for a couple of weeks, so they get acclimated. The last time I feel like the Niners had to fly out to the East, was that in Tampa, and we found a way to win that game?
You talking about in the beginning of the season?
Yeah, the first game of the season. I believe
it was 2019, right?
I believe so.
No, because it didn't whenever
we lost to Cincinnati
last year.
We lost to Chicago last year though.
Yeah, but the year before that is when we lost Bosa.
Oh,
when
so that
we
was
went
2020.
To MetLife and yeah. And the Jets.
But that wasn't week one, right?
No, that wasn't. That was week two.
Right.
And so we had the Jets and Giants back to back weeks.
Right.
So yes. Week one. Two is what
we
I'm
were home
about.
Versus Arizona. So 2019. Yeah.
And 2020.
We were on the East twice. So we flew out. We played Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
We won that 131-17. And then the next week, we stayed East and played Cincinnati and won 41-17.
Yeah. And that Tampa game was like, if it went for the defense and James Winston just throwing picks all over the place, because I don't know what quarterback
point,
was worse.
Good point. But the Niners were so slow on offense that then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was bad.
But they ended up started to churn, and then they had to make a pivot because they had to go out and get a free agent, trade for a wide receiver. Excuse me. Hey, you know what though? The last year they traveled to Chicago, they got beat. Let's keep it a buck. If it wasn't a monsoon, would the Niners have won that game?
We win that game.
Yeah, hands we would have won down. That game.
I just want to make a family show that, John. Hands fucking down. Hands down. I was told I couldn't curse during the Wayne Breezy show, but on at night, I can say whatever the freak I want now. But no, seriously, like, I felt like hands down, I feel like they even would have won that game if Elijah Mitchell didn't get hurt. Because then you took away the run game, and then it was Jeff Wilson time, and as good as he is, he just wasn't Elijah Mitchell.
Right.
And I know it's hindsight, but I'm saying that they lost that game in a monsoon on the road. So that was last year. This year they start on the road, but now they're traveling all the way east. I think my point was the last time they traveled east, they won. That's what I was trying to get to.
Yes.
Tampa Bay would be east, right?
Yeah.
So we'll let it see. We'll see what happens, man. They start.
I mean, would you consider Detroit east, or would you consider Detroit Midwest?
Are they on the same time zone as us?
Detroit? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know either. Y'all, because I know Detroit, what time is it
I know Chicago is central.
It's an hour, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if Detroit might be the same thing. But in 2021, we went to Detroit first.
We beat them.
And then week two, we were in Philly.
We beat them.
Yeah.
They're actually Eastern.
They are
Detroit?
Eastern.
It's the same.
Okay,
it's the
so
same.
The 20,
time.
So the 2021.
So look. So Kyle Shanahan, what we're doing right now is Kyle Shanahan, Eastern time zone games. He's got two dubs. First game only. Tampa.
Yeah.
He's
Tampa
2-1. No, because Chicago's not Eastern. You're right. So he's 2-0.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at that. We did some magic. Look at that. Love you guys out there. Let's keep these super chats. Fernando with the super chat. Fernando, I just want you to know that I see you every time you come onto the show. I try to say hello. I know you be mad at me all the time, but I do appreciate your super chat contribution.
We love you,
Fernando. And what I would just become the Breezy Bunch member, and you'll be set for life. That's that. Could you do that for us? Thank you. All right. Fall going for Fernando. Oh, that Bosa picture, man.
We're not going to see that locker room without Nick Bosa. Thank you, Wayne Mose and Peachy, all you do. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Fernando.
They're trying, Fernando. You see it, bro. They trying to act like it's not bothering them because it's out of their hands. It's out of their power to do anything about it. And they're trying to find a way, but, man, I think the person infuriating the most in the 49ers locker room, if he's even in the locker room, is Steve Wilks.
Because that's part of the reason why he took this job.
Bro, I was about to do a scenario. It's like, Mose, I'm going to hire you, but listen, I'm going to give you, you're going to have this when you come here. And then when you get there, it's missing.
The biggest piece that was a part of why I'm coming here, the defensive player of the year, is not here.
It's tough, bro.
It really is. It's like we can have like everything going good, everything looks good, things flowing, team, and then you have like the biggest part of your defense that is probably like not going to be out there. And it just puts, to me anyway, it just puts a damper on it. Like, it really does. It just puts a damper on it. Just the defense is the same. And maybe it's just because I just cannot get that Atlanta game out of my head, how just off everyone looked. But we do have Hargrave. We have added a new coordinator. I mean, whole nine yards. We'll see. We'll definitely see, like, what happened. But anyway, I'm just hoping that we will get a great game and that we come out victorious, even though it might give us a hard tag. But as long as we come out, just like Mo said, 1-0 when we head to L.A., ready to go.
And I agree. Look, you guys gave me two really good points, right? Stay away from Minka, you know what I'm saying? And then come out and do the things that you suggested that the 49ers need to do. And it's just simple game planning. Like, don't overplay. My thing will be make the least amount of mistakes.
Right.
You're on the road. Refs are going to throw the flag. So make the least amount of mistakes you can make.
That's right.
For example, week one, do not get two roughing the passer calls.
Amen to that.
Which will change the whole, and I'm talking to you know who, which would change the whole outcome of a game,
yes.
Right? Limit those mistakes. I'm not talking about the offensive holdings and the false starts. Limit those too. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the ones that will be super detrimental to the team offensively and defensively. The refs are going to call holding. They're going to call PI. They're going to call those things because that's kind of like, and it's to their calling. They can call if they see it. They think it is blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But you got to find a way to limit the dumb ones with them late hits. You know what I'm saying? I don't even want our players like Brock Purdy taking a late hit or Christian. I don't even want them taking late hits. I'm sure there's going to be cheap shots all game. But find a way to limit the idiotic mistakes, right? The ones that you kind of have control over.
Yes.
And we've seen that happen to us last year. One player is still here. One player is gone. And I'm hoping that's out of the building as we speak. All right, guys, we got one more thing we want to get to. I believe all the Super Chats. Have all the Super Chats been read? No. We got one more from Sean, right?
All right. Thank you, Sean, Super Chat. Is that the new tactic for fear? Bosa trailing from behind? I'm laughing my butt off that SF team. I mean.
No. All we're saying is the 49ers are going to have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
He's not there. He hasn't been there. So they should have been preparing for him not to be here, period.
Right.
And they should be figuring out themselves, figuring out how to be find that continuity on that defensive line. I'm sure Chris Kocurek is going to have his guys ripped and ready to go. But you know what? It doesn't even come down to Kocurek. It comes down to the players executing.
Exactly.
Those plays execute? JP Hellahara, 2800, this is my brother. Listen, he's asking this question for a reason, okay? Because the last time we were out there, when I tell you we feasted it. Like, we went to this Chinese restaurant, not no regular Chinese spot, y'all. I'm talking a restaurant. Like, it was, they bring out food and they circle it around the circle table and you get, yo, it was official. So him and his bro, they took us out to eat. We had a great time. John Chapman, myself, the crew. I felt like we went out to eat somewhere else, too. I felt like we went to some sandwich place. But at the end of the day, we had a great time. He wants to know if you guys are going to be coming to the Seattle game.
Unfortunately, I won't.
That's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's Thanksgiving. So I'll be definitely with the fam.
Okay. Yep. PG.
I'm still deciding.
She's still deciding.
Right.
My bad for making y'all hungry.
I haven't decided yet.
Some of the best food I ever had, too. Oh, man. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there with the 49ers Rush road trip, and we'll be having a good time. If you're out there, you'll get to meet my oldest son. More than likely, he'll be there with me helping out and at the game with me. So I get to spend Thanksgiving with my eldest son, Taylen. So I'm excited to go out there. Anytime I get a chance to go out to Washington, I like to get out there and spend some time with him and watch the 49ers defeather some birds. So, yeah.
That's right.
Wait, is the Seahawk a real bird? We'll talk about that when we play them. Right now, it's all about the Steelers. Thank y'all so much for the Super Chat contributions. Let's do some final thoughts and the score prediction. So this is our show. Moe's, Peachy, do the Niners win this game? And if so, what's your score predictions?
I do have the Niners winning this game. I feel like it is going to be a very, very close game.
This guy.
And I think...
This guy, yeah.
I love Mike.
It's unfortunate, but I think we're going to have to win on a kick.
And Jake Moody!
It's going to have to be... I don't think it's going to be Moody.
But Moody's been practicing. He wasn't fully practicing today, but he was kicking in practice today, and it wasn't hurting. But right, they did sign Matthew Wright
to the practice squad. I think it's going to come down to a kick. I say the 49ers win 24-21.
God, I can't take that.
Yeah, I know. That's going to suck.
So Mo says 24-21. Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, because it doesn't look like we're going to have a Bosa, I think it is going to be a heart attack game for us. And I don't think our offense is going to put up as many points as a lot of people think they're going to. I don't think that we're going to put up 30 in this game. I'm pretty sure that it's good. I'll say that the 49ers win, and I'll go 27-21.
Okay, 6 points?
Yeah.
Y'all going to be mad. I'm going 21-13.
All right.
I like 21-13 who?
Niners.
Oh, okay. Because you said we was going to be mad.
Well, because I'm not going higher than 21 points, but three touchdowns is kind of like our cap.
Yeah, three touchdowns is
I think that's pretty cool on the road.
Okay,
yeah.
So, what'd you say?
So, 21-13, Niners. Okay. Now, guys, on the Nitty Gritty page on Facebook, every week there's a score prediction contest.
Yep.
Now, Miss Debbie kind of talked me into giving it to the person who gets the closest. So we'll get back to that. I was being a little harsh during the preseason, but it was preseason. So, yeah, I wanted to get y'all, you know, practicing. So the closest score will win. But you have to get that score in on time, all right? So I'll make sure Miss Debbie has the stuff to post. She'll post the day of the game, and then you'll have until kickoff to get your post in. All right, a lot of three-point victories. I'm not feeling that. That's me dying a few times
right.
at the game. That's not what y'all want. If you're sitting next to me, you don't want me to die. You have to resuscitate me. I have to come back to life. That's not what you want. But if that's the score, ugh.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. I 4 points too, Dina. That's tough, man. That's tough. But look, it's going to be a good game. Here's what I'm learning. The Niners typically start slow, right? But that was before the offense was formed into what we have. I feel like Brock Purdy is a much more efficient quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he gives us a bigger upside, and I feel like Brock is going to be able to do some things that are a little bit different, which will allow the offense to tick a lot better. I feel like there's rapport, there's chemistry. Mm-hmm. I know everybody wants the offensive line to block for 5 seconds. They don't have to, because that's not even Brock Purdy's strength to get the ball down the field. He doesn't need 5 seconds. And he has the ability to – the escape ability, right? Yes. That's one of his abilities. So if Brock can continue to be that guy, I just feel like the 49ers will figure out a way to dominate. And I tell you what, I think the defense is going to play a little bit better than – where we, you know, what we think. I think they're going to come out there guns blazing and still provide that energy, because the energy was Fred Warner. The sustainability was Nick Bosa. But now
we add
another type of ability, and that's the interior pass rush, something we haven't seen since DeForest Buckner. Guys, strap on your seatbelts, man. It's going to be a great ride. I'm telling you. Lake City. 34, Purdy uses... Well, see, this correlates because y'all be calling him big. I don't say that. BCB.
Uh-huh.
That ain't something I say, right?
That's true. That actually fits because that's what they call him.
So, you know, I can see Purdy. I can see the Purdy Stiffy shirts already, yo. I can see him. I can see him already. Guys, we getting out of here. We are acting fools. It is hot.
It's on very the East hot. Coast.
We love y'all. Stay up. Stay faithful. Always keep it nitty gritty, y'all. Thanks for being a dog.
It's about that time. Everybody turn your TVs on. The Moe's knows Peachy Breezy and Fair to God. They keep it nitty gritty when they bring you Nana Tall. We two gorilla silver back. Nah, silver
home. We know it's busting the discussion because we get it in. Every time, you know, we grinding. I was 8 to 10. We always play to win. The faithful going hard. It's Wayne Breezy, Peachy Moe's knows and Fear to God. Let's get it. Nitty gritty, this the line is tall.